Well, first off, we're not toiling for it.
We ain't toiling for nothing.
Right? So we need to be disciplined
right
towards it. Mm. But also, if it comes quick, it leaves quick.
Right.
Right?
Right, right. You know, well, unless you put it up.
Well, unless you talk to me.
unless you talk to you. You're right about saying
no,
it. Yeah.
But unless you talk to me. But no. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing the scriptures, but it's, right, you know, it talks money that comes quick.
Right.
Will go quick.
Right.
And money that's built diligently over time right will stay and it will endure and it will be there for generational wealth. Takes 20 foot on the track, never hitting the brakes. So do the math, step back. Don't get in my way. I'll fuck you over
if you out of the car and give you a taste. Welcome to another episode of The Big Bang, brought to you by Kingdom Culture Agency, and I'm your host, Poet Presley. Make sure you all check out our sponsors. I want to give a huge shout out to Got Success. Go to gotsuccessstore.com for everything success. Today, I'm super excited. I have a fantastic guest on the show, Stephen Kibble. He's an amazing guy. He's a financial guru. So everything financial, he's the man you want to go to. He's a financial planner and a financial coach. He's also a realtor, and he's also a published author. He can assist you also with life insurance and health insurance. His motto is plan now and relax later. He's super huge on planning and the planning process. His entire life just revolves around that. He earned his bachelor's of business administration and accounting from Middle Tennessee State University. He holds a certified financial planner designation, gold standard. He specifically put that. And he also holds a chartered financial consultant and chartered life underwriter designation, right? Yep. So, like I said earlier, he can help you with life insurance and health insurance, right? But not only that, he's recently stepped into this new phase, this new season in life where he's crushing it as a published author and he's helping children with financial literacy. On today's episode, not only do I want to just touch on tapping into that supernatural wealth transfer, getting that generational wealth started. And I believe the biggest way that we do that is starting with the kids. But Stephen, what's up, bro? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Blessed and highly favored, baby.
Blessed and highly favored for sure. So what I want to do, I kind of want to just talk a little bit about the financial journey, just coming up as a kid where you're super wealthy. Like, what made you want to be a financial planner and help people with their finances?
Yeah, so I did not grow up wealthy. I grew up a single mom and two sisters. We grew up not too far from here in South Nashville. Grew up in a two-bedroom house, shared bedrooms with either my sister or my mom, kind of all the way growing up. Didn't have my own room till I was 14. So money was a luxury. You know, but we had a house full of love. So, you know, I mean, you never really felt like we were without. You know, but you didn't know what you didn't know kind of thing. But as I got older, you realize that, you know, you need money to a certain extent to kind of live a lifestyle you want, especially raising a family and, you know, kids, having a wife and providing for her, being the provider, being the protector, all those things. Right. So, but to answer what your question is it really stemmed from when I got to be a teenager and started wanting things for myself, started wanting clothes, started wanting to buy my own car. So I had to go out and get a job. And then, you know, my mom didn't really understand how money worked. So I kind of had to take it upon myself to go out and learn how money worked. I loved reading. So that really came easy to me. Just started picking up books, a lot of finance books and reading. Kind of stemmed from there. So that kind of took me down the trajectory of, okay, whatever I do in college is going to be something tied to money. So I started going to school at MTSU out in Murfreesboro for my accounting degree. While I was going to school, I got a job at the bank, and started working my way through school. I was determined not to have loans, was anti-loans.
You didn't leave school with no loans?
No loans, not a single dollar. Yeah, so I paid my way through school. Took me a little bit longer. But, you know, I did school part-time, and worked full time so I could pay for it. So ended up graduating, but just through the course of working at the bank and progressing there, ended up getting licensed to manage investments and took me down just a different path. Instead of accounting, I decided I didn't want to sit in an office and do bookkeeping and accounting. I really wanted to meet with people, kind of discuss their finances. And then once I started doing that, it kind of got a step further, was I wanted to do more comprehensive planning.
Right. What is that?
So comprehensive planning is, the way I explain it to people is, it's anything that money touches. Mm. That's how I look at it. So there's seven main types of planning when you're talking about financial planning. You've got cash flow planning. That's going to be savings, budgeting, you know, the flows of your money, inflow and outflow of money. You got investment planning, which is kind of self-explanatory. You're looking at strategy for your money and what, you know, how you're investing it. You got insurance planning, so risk management, that you touched on a few of them. You know, you got life insurance, health insurance, disability, long-term care, you know, the whole shebang, auto, homeowners. So really just protecting your wealth, right?
Right.
Then you've got retirement planning. So that's kind of tied in with investments a little bit, but you're looking at how to provide income, you know, to and through retirement, social security, you know, kind of living the lifestyle you want once work's done. You've got education planning, which I know we're going to talk about kids a little bit later, but that's planning for college, planning for trade school, you know, even private school, like being able to fund that, you know, especially because I had to pay for it myself. I understand firsthand how expensive it can be, as most people can, I'm sure. And, you know, in our demographic. And then you've got estate planning. So that's going to be trust, wills, how you pass your assets on, how you reduce taxes as much as you can when doing so, and making sure that your money is in alignment with your wishes when you do pass. And then finally, taxes. Everybody knows about taxes, but tax planning.
They don't. So, people are going to jail for taxes right now.
Well, they may not understand how they work, but they understand what they are. But so that's going to be tax planning, both forward thinking and also looking back. So we're looking at strategy, we're looking at deductions and credits and kind of everything. So most everything else kind of falls in one of those categories, right? So, you know, I say there's seven, you could argue that there's a couple others, but most anything financially related is going to fall into one of those seven categories. Then you got business planning too.
So you named these seven categories, right? Yeah. Tell me the name again.
Cash flow.
No, seven what? What is the title for it? What did you say?
Seven areas of planning.
Okay. Those are the seven areas of planning, right? Yeah. One thing that you said that I kind of wanted to touch on a little bit more at first is you said you didn't know how money works, right? What do you mean by that? How does money work?
I mean, I think it's something that you are always kind of learning, especially as new things come about and new legislation takes place. But, you know, I think money is simplified a little too much. And, you know, for better or for worse, you know, it's not just as simple as earning it and spending it.
Right.
It's how do I make my money work for me? Right.
Money got to work for you.
Of course.
It has to work for you.
Yeah. Look, you're either a slave to money or money is a slave to you. Right. So, you know, money is the worst master, but it can be the best servant.
Right.
So when I'm talking about money, how do we direct our money? How do we control our money?
Right.
So that our money doesn't control us. So when I'm talking about how it works, how does it fit into the scheme of how I want my life to look? Because money is just a tool.
Right.
So it can work for us or it can work against us.
So one thing that I think is vital that you let people know and that we step into it is, as a financial planner and as a financial coach, I think the first thing you're telling them or showing them is how to utilize their money to work for them. So those seven categories to me sounds like those are fundamental ways that my money is going to start working for me, or I'm setting my money up for success, right?
Yeah. You've got, I mean, just like anything else, I mean, you liken it to a house, right? Like first you got to start with the foundation, and you build up the walls and then the roof, you know, so it's steps at, you know, you take steps at a time, but you really got to go through that process of building the foundation and understanding and taking control of your money before you can then put it to work. So it is a process. It doesn't all happen at once.
Right.
But, you know, it's first, okay, let me figure out where my money's going, or how does money come in? Then where my money's going once it comes in, how do I control where it goes better so that, you know, when I see it, when I send it out, when I circulate, right, that we talk about circulating right. money, I don't
tell them that. Well, tell me what you mean by that.
Well, I don't like to say spending money.
Right.
We talk about circulating money. I'm right. circulating money. I'm putting out money into the ethos, into right. the world, right? And I'm calling forth that it's going to come back. It's
you're doing
back.
What?
I'm calling it forth.
All right, now this is
I'm circulating it, right? I'm telling it. I'm sending it out. I'm right. intentional about every mm-hmm. dollar, where that dollar's going. I'm sending it out, and I'm telling it to bring it back more friends when it comes back.
Right.
When it's circulating, it's coming back, and it's bringing some friends with it. So that's how I talk to my money. I think words have power.
Right. You know what you think.
I know the words have power.
Come on, man. Right? It's there the big go. Bang,
see,
bro.
See, it's look, it's something that I'm always working on. Right. I'm definitely not perfect, but you know, I think definitely our words have power. So I try and speak over everything, you know, not just money, but everything in my life. But yeah, I mean,
and
how we circulate money determines kind of how we go about managing, right. how we control it, how it works for us.
Right. So we're not spending money, we circulate money.
Circulate money.
Right.
That's right.
That's so dope. And you're touching on a little more. I'm going to want to really get into those behavioral patterns. So like how you're saying you're speaking to your money, you're telling it what to do, because it's real power in our words, right? Mm-hmm. But I kind of want to touch on the importance of financial planning in comparison to generational wealth. Like, what is generational wealth and how could someone attain that?
So to me, generational wealth, I feel like it's, you know, spoken in the term itself, is I'm trying to set up wealth for generations to come after me, my children, my children's children, their children, you know, and so forth, right? When you talk about generational wealth, you think maybe Rockefellers or Vanderbilt, you know, you hear these big names that, you know, when you hear their names, you automatically assume that that family has money, even though they've been around for hundreds and hundreds of years, right?
Right.
So when I think and when I say generational wealth, I mean setting up wealth for your family for generations to come, right? I mean, you can do that a number of ways, but really it's about being prudent, being a steward of your money. I mean, estate planning is really big with that. Life insurance is a great way to build generational wealth, investing certain assets and tax planning. I mean, again, that's why it's comprehensive planning, because too often people segment different parts of their plan.
Right.
You know, I'm gonna have an investment advisor for this. I'm gonna have an estate attorney for this. I'm gonna have a CPA help me with this. And those are good things to have. Those are good people to have in your corner. And I'm not saying that you need to have one person that does everything. But when I'm planning for clients, I act kind of like a quarterback, mm-hmm. right? Like
you're a quarterback.
Know, yeah, I'm the quarterback. So I work with their CPA, their attorney, their mm-hmm. banker, their insurance agent, or you know whoever that is, to kind of coordinate all that. Because you start talking about investments, well, if you're investing, you make some money and you go to take that money out, you got to deal with taxes, right? Right. When you're passing on assets, you got real estate, you've got insurance, you've got some investments. When you pass away, when that inheritance comes, you're going to have to deal with some taxes in certain circumstances, right? So all these things flow and work together. So when I say comprehensive planning, that's what I mean, is right. everything is interwoven, right? They're not, too often people look at it, segment it and compartmentalize it, but they all work with each other.
Right. We're talking to the expert right now. He's really tapping into it. I kind of want to dive a little deep into financial coaching, right? Mm-hmm. I want to talk about how you actually coach. You mentioned you being a quarterback, right? But that's more on the financial planning side. So what do you do as a financial coach, and how do you help your clients?
I mean, planning and coaching is a lot different. So planning is a lot of strategy, a lot of data gathering, analysis, and kind of forward thinking and coaching is a lot more behavioral and psychological, right, mindset driven, but it's also, it is also educational, right, in nature, because I'm, you know, you're teaching the basics. We talked a little bit about foundation of finances. And so within planning, you've got your foundation, but even before that, you've got to have some degree of financial literacy and understanding, you know, things like compound interest,
right?
Right. Understanding home ownership, how to go about building your credit score,
right? Right?
And buying a home,
right?
You know, how do you pay off debt, right? Right. And how do I manage the money? How do I build an emergency fund? How do I build a budget, right? Right. So coaching is going to be more tied to those things, where it's basic level finance, where we're teaching you how to get control of your money.
Right.
Right. We talked about that a little bit with the planning side, but in order to get control of your money so it doesn't control you,
right,
you got to have a budget. You got to have these emergency
funds. That's fundamental. If you ain't got that, you're tripping.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and with coaching, that's what I'd liken it to, is it's the fundamentals, right? It's not necessarily the fun, the sexy stuff, sexy part of finance, but you know, it's the part that's needed, that goes underappreciated. But it's not even just the education. I touched on it a minute ago, but it is the mindsets, behavioral. How do you view money, right? You asked me how I grew up,
right?
Right? Was I wealthy, you know, and I wasn't. But being wealthy or lack thereof determines how we look at money,
right?
How our environment, how we grew up, is one of the variables that affect how we look at money. Did money come easy to us? Did money come hard to us? What's our mindset? Can we reframe those beliefs, right? Because there's even mindsets, you know, not just if we had wealth or didn't have it, but even when you're looking at somebody, say you were raised without money, and how you view somebody with money,
right?
Not even talking about that you did or didn't have it, but looking at someone else. Because I mean, when I was growing up, you know, you think, and this is me being completely transparent, is I would think people with money may have been, you know, snobs, right?
Right.
And now, as I've gotten older, I realize it's the furthest thing from the truth.
And people kind of confuse that. You'll hear people a lot of times, they'll say, money is the root of all evil, right?
No.
But it's the love of money, right?
Yep.
So even you got people who are blessed, quote unquote, but they ain't even, they supposed to be abundant. They not even getting it because they thinking that money is evil.
Yeah. And again, that's another belief, right, that we have to reframe, right?
Right.
You know, it's funny, you know, my wife is, we live out in Thompson Station now,
right,
but my wife's from Franklin, you know, and I grew up in Antioch.
Wait.
Lower Antioch, baby, LA.
Yeah.
no, but you know, my wife, when we met, she was like, I want you to move. Let's get a place in Franklin. I was like, I don't want to live in Franklin. Mm. You know, I don't want to live out there with all the people.
That's what you were saying?
Yeah.
You felt that way?
Yeah. And
boy, living good now.
I am. I'm blessed for sure. You know, I couldn't have had a worse attitude towards it. And again, that comes back to, that had nothing to do with my education on money. Mm. You know, that had everything to do with my behavior, or my mindset towards money. That's
right.
how psychologically I viewed money. Like, psychologically I viewed money as inherently evil,
right?
Or bad or immoral.
Tripping.
Right? But yeah, exactly.
Tripping.
So again, you know, with coaching, a lot of it is, you know, we go over the basics, we learn education, we go through, you know, the foundation of finance, but again, a lot of it is reframing beliefs, because beliefs cause us to take action according to those beliefs.
Right.
Right. We have these beliefs set out. So we take action according to those beliefs. Those actions then yield a result. And those results can reinforce that belief. And that could be for good or bad. Right.
Say it again. But this time I want you to break it down, because I feel like you're dropping jewels right now, that if they're taking notes, just gave us the steps, right?
Yeah.
One more time, brother.
So for better or for worse,
right?
Right. We have beliefs,
right?
We grow up with them due to our environment, due to our association, due to our education, or whatever that is, we have beliefs. Those beliefs make us act in a certain way. And this isn't even just to money. This isn't just to finance. This is just life.
Yeah.
We have these beliefs that cause us to take actions. Then in turn, we take those actions, they yield a certain result. And then the results reinforce those beliefs.
Right.
Right. So let's take it. Oh man.
What?
Money is evil. I don't need to worry about getting money. You know, I'm never going to be able to get money.
Right.
Right. Because it's bad. Okay. So what is that? So that belief causes us to take what action? Probably no action.
Right.
Right. We're not taking action towards abundance, towards wealth. Right. So then that action of not taking action, right, and not having wealth, then the reaction from that, or what the results that are yielded, or is that I still don't have money.
You can't even attract it.
Yeah. Okay. So then if the result is that I didn't get money, how that reinforces the belief that money's not for me.
So at the core, when you're helping someone starting off as a coach, one of the biggest things is renewing their mind. Do you do that a lot?
Yeah.
Renewing their mind.
Yeah. And there's a certain process we take, and it's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of the first things I ask are these things I'm alluding to is, okay, how was money for you when you were growing up? How did you view money? Did money come easily? Was it hard? You know, who in your life was someone that was successful with money?
Getting that bag. Yeah. Success.
I always ask them, who's someone in your life that had money, you know, or that you perceived to have money, you know, and then, you know, how did they go about getting it? What were the challenges that they faced to get that? And if they know that, right? And so so we talk about those things, because first I need to understand what their perception is, what their beliefs are, in order for me to help, you know, reshape them.
So I have another question for you.
All right. Shoot.
So to gain wealth, or to start generating money, right, is it hard? Do you think you have to work hard? You know, oftentimes it's like, I ain't got to go out here and work hard. But people from your experience, maybe some of your more wealthier clients, are they working super hard, or what do you see?
So here's what I said. Here's what I'll say to that. And I heard this somewhere. So this isn't something from me directly. I don't know who I could give the credit to, but building wealth is simple, but it's not easy. And I say that because it's behavioral, because it takes discipline,
and nothing,
because it takes mindset. It's simple, right?
Yeah.
You could set up an automatic, you know, very simple example, but you could set up an automatic ACH, put $100 in an investment account once a week or once a month or whatever it is, right? But when times get hard, you know, are you going to keep at that? Are you going to keep doing that?
Right.
Because it's simple to set that up. It's kind of a set it and forget it. And it's something I encourage people to do. But is it easy when something happens, right? And, oh man, you know, my car broke down,
right?
Or my HVAC went out, or my dog's sick, or, you know, whatever. It's life happens, right? Life happens. You know, do we then stop and become undisciplined in our approach, right? And that's why we have other things in place to help with that, you know, like an emergency fund, for instance, right?
So where we spoke about that,
you know, so we need that in place so that when these things inevitably happen, we can continue the plan as planned, right? So that's why I say it's simple, but it's not easy, because we're human. We have, you know, these human behaviors, these characteristics and these emotions that get in the way, right? Because money is not all math. Mm-mm. It's very much, again, behavioral. It's very much psychological. You know, we touched on it a few times now, but it really is, you know, do you have the discipline to go through? Because wealth is built, in most cases, it's built over time.
Right.
It's not this, you know, get overnight. Rich quick. It's not this overnight, you know. Right. That's what it may look
real
like.
Real wealth.
Yeah. That's not what, right. And what does the Bible say about that? Like,
come on, tell me.
Well, first off, we're not toiling for it.
We ain't toiling for nothing.
Right? So we need to be disciplined towards it.
Mm.
But also, if it comes quick, it leaves quick.
Right.
Right?
Right.
You know,
unless you put it up.
Well, Unless you talk to me.
You talk to you. You're right about saying
no,
it. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Unless you talk to me. But no. And, you know, I'm paraphrasing the scriptures, but it's, right. You know, it talks money that comes quick.
Right.
Will go quick.
Right.
And money that's built diligently over time will stay and it will endure and it will be there for generational wealth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So.
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know,
you know what I'm seeing though?
What's that?
At the core and just being honest, it's like, there are certain principles in place, and I talked about this earlier, right? It's like the Bible tells us that we're the head and not the tail, that I'm the loaner, not the borrower, right? That I'm first and never last. But that's all a mindset thing. Mm-hmm. So before I can be the loaner and not the borrower, right, I have to have that mindset. Even when you think about your money, right? How does money make you feel, if that makes sense, right? I can guarantee you that a wealthy person is not worried about spending something. When they circulate their money, they're circulating it with a certain energy, right? They're giving off a certain vibration. They're constantly having a certain habitual pattern that they're expressing throughout their daily lives, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's definitely critical. What I want to touch on now a little bit is I believe a lot of people talk about generational wealth. So I'm storing up all of this money for those who are going to come after me, right? My generations. But I never, never hear people talk about giving that financial literacy or actually teaching those who are coming after us, right, what money is, so that once they have this generational wealth, they know what to do with it. I think they skip that. So I want to talk about why you even thought to start this financial literacy journey. Why are you even writing books, right? To me, it's super important. I never seen anybody do it, but what made you decide to do that?
Raise our children up in his ways.
And right.
Come not on. Depart for them.
All right. Proverbs 22:6.
Right. So, you know, we touched a little bit about my background and, you know, I didn't have that growing up. I didn't have wealth or abundance at the time. I had abundance of love. I will say that. And that was enough for me, but I didn't have the education of finance. Didn't have the financial literacy. I had to go out and get it on my own. And, you know, for everybody that's in here right now, you know, how many of us had to take a finance class in high school? I didn't have to. A lot of places don't make you or even offer them to you.
They ain't teaching you about money, bruh.
You know, they're teaching us algebra. They're teaching us geometry and trigonometry and all these things. But, you know, how do I build a budget? You know, how do I build my credit? Right? Like, what are these important decisions that are going to affect the rest of my life and that actually affect me in life, right? Like, you take geometry, you take algebra, you take any of these classes. When is the last time you used them, right?
When is the last time you used any of them?
That's what I'm saying. Unless you're an engineer, or, I mean, if you've got some type of career that uses that, then, you know, of course.
Kudos.
More power to you.
For sure.
But we should be teaching foundations of real life,
right?
And financial literacy that applies to everyday people. And that is, again, as building credit, as building a budget, building an emergency fund, simple investments 101 and fundamentals like compound interest. How does that work, right? CDs, whatever it is, just basic finance. We should be teaching it. So for me, it came to you know, a couple of those things. And then, you know, seeing, you know, I have four children, you know this. Right, I have two stepdaughters who are older. They're 18 and 16. And then I've got two young boys, and they're 5 and 3.
What's their names?
Cyrus and Cash are the boys. And then Carly and Adriana are the girls. And
you see, he named his son Cash.
Right. So, you know, raising them and, you know, I've always tried to instill values in them and help them understand the value of money,
right?
And that you do have to work for it. It doesn't always come freely,
right?
Right. So you do have to do work something. For it, not toil.
We ain't toiling.
But work, right?
Yeah, you know, diligently.
And being smart with our money and being stewards of our money.
Good stewards.
Making good decisions. And, you know, so, and then, you know, the girls are in middle school, high school now, and, you know, they're not being taught any of these things. There's right. They're not. And then now I've got my boys and my oldest son just started kindergarten, you know, and he's going through things. And so, you know, late last year, about a year ago, I just had this revelation that, you know, I need, you know, nobody's doing this. Nobody is trying to educate our kids, you know, financial literacy, even young. And parents take it upon themselves on an individual basis to do it. I've seen parents that know it's important and go about doing it, but on a big scale and with curriculum, right, where they can kind of progress through these different levels of financial literacy. So
you didn't bring one of the books.
I didn't. They're actually being redone right now.
You didn't bring one. I should have brought. Man.
No, I didn't bring. I'm bringing them. They're getting redone. They're getting reillustrated. I mean, we're about to hit it hard. I mean, we're, you know, at first it was the idea was, you know, we're going to go for parents. We're going to give this to parents, and we still are. But now we it's bigger than that. Like, we're going for financial institutions. We're going for schools, homeschools. You know, all kinds of organizations that support children, and so. We're re-releasing them probably before the end of this year,
so
maybe early next year.
So because we on the topic of your books, right? Let's dive into them a little bit. Tell me a little bit about the different books. I think you have about 10 of them. The themes behind these books. Just tell us a little more about your actual collection.
Yeah, so I will have 10. There's 9 that are already done, and the 10th one is almost finished. They're all on different topics. They all have characters in them that
like
are
what? Tell
like
me.
People in my life. Well, my first one was Cyrus and Cash. And yep. Then I have another one with my daughter.
Cyrus and Cash, Money Adventure.
Yeah. Cyrus right. and Cash is Money
That's
Adventure.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
and what
my,
is that about?
With my daughter. So that one is
yeah,
the,
tell us about
that's
it.
The principle of saving, mm-hmm. right? So it's, you know, it's a very simple story. It's just, you know, showing how, you know, these boys, my sons, find money and then start a kind of a piggy bank savings jar. They're saving for a toy. And the kind of the concept is that you build savings kind of like a puddle will grow from raindrops, right? Just a little bit at a time. But, you know, if it rains a little bit over time, that water gathers, becomes a puddle, becomes this bigger body of water. But, you know, the analogy is tied to saving. So,
right.
And it's teaching patience, right? For right. Instead of instant gratification, which right. we all struggle with,
right?
Right. And getting, you know, getting this right now, mm-hmm. instead of going for the small thing right now, saving, being patient, being disciplined, you know, mm-hmm. having the right mindset with money that, you know, I'm saving for the future. And in this case, it's a toy, right? They're saving for a bigger toy. So that's the first one that I wrote. And then I've got the ones with my daughters. It's called What is Money? And it's really kind of explaining what money is and how it functions in society. You know, very basic. That's with Carly and Adriana. I've got What is Credit? And you're the character in the book.
No, I'm one. Not.
Yeah,
don't
you
say
are.
That.
so that's teaching about credit and, you know, very, very simple terms, right? The whole idea is to be able to break it down simple enough, right? They say you don't understand something well enough unless you can explain it to a kindergartner.
Okay, I want to say this while we live right now.
Yeah.
Y'all saw he said that there's a book that he was inspired by me. So once this book goes viral, he started making millions of dollars, man. I want my cut.
we can talk later.
I'm just joking, man. Yeah.
So there's one about credit, and yeah. then there's one about investing, insurance, currency, what is a budget, how to grow money. So we talked about, there was one savings. I made one with my nephews, Dominic and Kingston, and that is about how to grow your money. We've got one about what is small business, like what's business,
right?
Taxes,
everything.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's 10 books, and they all touch on pretty important topics,
right?
You know, and they're not all designed for kindergartners, right? They're tiered, so you know, you start light with, you know, what is money, what is savings, you know, what is growing money. So we're talking about savings accounts and CDs and things like that.
And you already have some of these books in schools or partnered with the school?
Yeah. So there is there's a friend of mine that lives up in Ohio. She manages a daycare. Mm-hmm. I won't say the name, but manages a daycare up there that's a pretty well known. I'd say it's regional, if not national. Mm-hmm. And she got a copy of my book and loved it and reached out to me and asked if I'd send her some to give to the school because they're thinking about making it part of their curriculum.
Right.
Right. And so that's what kind of stirred up this idea of, man, we got to go after these daycares, these financial institutions. Like, this is bigger. This is bigger than me. This is bigger than just parents, just individual parents. Like, let's get this everywhere we can. Yeah. So that was amazing. And she had reached out about that. So I sent them, they put it part of their Scholastic Book Fair. And from all accounts, it did really well. So, you know, we're just going to keep pushing it and keep grinding.
So how can parents and caregivers who have small age children instill positive financial habits in their children at an early age?
I mean, start young. I mean, you know when your child's ready. It's not to say every child's ready at 4 or 5. I mean, you know your child, you know your children, you know, better than I do. So, you know, when you feel like they're ready, you start small. You start very basic. You know, in the books, there's a story with the books, and then after the story, there's a bunch of activities. And the whole premise is that you do it together, you know, with the children. You read the story with them, and then you go through the activities. And the activities help to kind of reinforce.
So what are those? Let's say I don't have your book yet, but I've seen this podcast, and I'm like, man, I need to teach my kid about financial literacy or instill some values in them, right?
Yeah.
What can I do?
So, of course, again, start young. I think for me, what I do, I'll tell you what I do, is especially my kindergartner now, is he's 5, so I think that's a good age to start if you feel your child is ready, is, you know, I have them do certain things around the house, maybe very small things like, and maybe just like picking up their crayon or just cleaning up after themselves, right? And so when they do that, you know, I'll give them quarter, dollar, or whatever it is, and create this piggy bank for them where they put it away. And then when we go out to the store, right, if they say, I want this, I want that, okay, well, this is this much, right? Okay, and you have this much.
Right.
Right? So if we want to get that, you got to just keep saving, keep building, and, you know, filling up your piggy bank. Right? He's got a piggy bank. And so that teaches patience again. Saving is kind of what I was touching on earlier in the book about them, is, you know, starting young, giving them something to look forward to, and helping them to understand kind of the cause and effect of money. You know, if I want this toy, it's going to cost me this amount, and that's going to require me to do this, to do this, to have that. Not sure if that's what you're looking for or not, but
yeah, I mean, that's kind of a strategy, right, that you incorporate. So parents could definitely do that.
Yeah, I think so. you start with that. You teach them what money is and that it has value,
right?
Then, you know, my plan is when he's a little bit older, is to provide an allowance, to give them an allowance, for the sole reason of helping them to budget money, right? For the same thing that we're talking about when they're saving to buy something, but also, okay, here's 20 bucks a week, right? This is going to be all your money for any extra snacks you want, all right? Like, obviously they're provided for, they're eating, all that's fine, but you want something extra, you want something special, you want an extra toy, you know, you can use all this week, or you can save it. And right. Then letting
your kid's going to be saving.
They better be. No, but they're going to, you know, learn, you know, that, you know, they can waste it all away, And if they do
blow it,
you know, then they'll learn from that, or they can, and then eventually the idea is they learn that saving over time, they can get the bigger stuff that they want. They can get something more special, something, or giving, you know, giving's really important too.
Right.
And so it's not just about saving and circulating money.
Right.
It's about also investing, you know, again, you have to understand when your child's ready and when the appropriate age for that is. And it's again, kids learn at different and different levels and at different speeds. So, you know, that's all, I would say just you as a parent kind of at your discretion do that, but you know, teaching them what investing is. Okay, let me go put it in the bank. Let me go put it in a CD. It's going to earn interest. That more money's going to work for me. Right. We talk about putting that money to work, teaching those kids, open them a bank account, you know, when they're young. Nowadays, you got all these different ways to do it, and you've got mobile apps where they can see it,
right,
you know, in real time. And, you know, and also giving, you know, the importance of giving. Like, let's go out and tithe, or we go out and volunteer somewhere.
Give to St. Jude.
Yeah. Volunteer our time and also our money.
One thing that I really love about your books is that in the end of the book for the children, you give them activities, right? So you make it fun to learn about money. What are some of the activities that you're teaching and instilling within these children in your books?
So, you know, some of them are what you would consider children activities. There's coloring. Right. There's word searches. There's kind of matching definitions. Right. Learning things. But the ones that I like the most are the ones that get them thinking. Mm-hmm. And so those are going to be ones where they're actually writing. And these are meant to be done with the parents in most cases. But it's so there's one in the Cyrus and Cash book that is, you know, talking about money and what are some things that money buys that you want? And what are some things that money buys that you need?
Right.
So it's separating wants and needs in these categories. And so then there's also ones that talk about entrepreneurship. You know, okay, hey, if I want to earn money, start a business, start a lemonade stand, start baking some cookies, whatever, you know, whatever that is. So then it's, okay, if I want to sell cookies, what am I going to sell them for? I have to sell these many cookies to earn this amount for this, whatever I'm saving for this toy. So, you know, a lot of it, we talked about with coaching that it's psychological and behavioral. So I try and have things in there that get them thinking about those stuff, that kind of stuff too. There's even giving where it's okay. Where do I want to give? Why do I want to give to them? Why is it important that I give to the, you know, there'd be three boxes where, okay, I'm going to give X percent of my money to these places. Okay. I want to give it to this, this, and this. Well, why is it important for me to give my money? And then why do I want to give it to this particular place? Whether that's a person, right? Maybe it's, I just want to buy my mom flowers, right? Or I want to give to charity, or, you know, buy my brother a toy, or whatever it is, whatever they're wanting to give, you know, why do you want to do that? So,
right.
So a lot of the activities are about, you know, getting the child to think again, how money works, how I can use money to both help myself and help others.
Right. Absolutely. So you're so objective with Kibble Financial Planning is to do what? What's your mission in life?
Oh man, I got so many missions, like a 10 lane highway, but biggest thing is education. I'd say, that's for adults. That's with the planning. That's with the coaching. That's with the literacy is educating people, empowering them to take control of their lives. And you know, again, I've said it earlier, you got to control where your money goes or it will control where you go.
Right.
And that's why I say plan now, relax later. Right.
Touch on that.
So we talked about, okay, everybody wants this instant gratification. What can I do now? I'm hungry now. You can compare it to a diet or to exercise, right? You know, exercising isn't always fun, but the result is good, right?
Always.
Eating right isn't always fun,
always,
but the result is good, right? When I go through life, I'm always thinking about future Steven, You know, how's this going to affect future Steven? This, what I'm eating right now. How often, can you tell me what you ate 10 days ago?
Yeah.
What did you eat 10 days ago?
My days are pretty much consistent. In the morning, we're juicing and fruit. I know I drank some healthy juice and I ate some sort of fruit. So, for a fact.
Okay, so fruit. So then let's
if
go.
If it was on a Wednesday, it was char.
It was fried chicken. Okay.
Right?
Yep. Yeah. Well, what I'm getting at is that, you know, we don't, when you think about what you ate a week ago or a month ago.
I'm different. You probably shouldn't ask me that.
I guess not. But it doesn't matter what you ate a week, a month ago. You're not really thinking. You're not thinking about it. You don't care about it. You don't think about that today. Like, man, I'm so glad I ate that steak. Or I ate that.
So glad I took those ginger shots.
I ate that bag of chips a month ago. Yeah. Right. Like you're now dealing with your past actions. Mm-hmm. Right. Whether that's good or bad.
Right.
Right. If you dieted terrible, if you didn't exercise, like you're filling in now. And the true could be said about the opposite. If you dieted right and you're exercising, you're reaping those benefits.
You're
now.
What you sold.
So when I go about anything in life, it's how's this going to affect future Steven? You know, because a lot of people think the opposite. Oh, I'm gonna let future Steven worry about it.
No,
I'm not gonna worry about it right now. I'm gonna let future poet worry about it.
No,
I'm thinking about it. Okay, now. How is this gonna affect future Steven? How's this gonna affect future poet going with?
I think everything. That's a tactic you should use.
That's one of the things I talk about when I'm doing coaching. Is let's reframe to think about, you know, a year ago, if you could go back, you know, would you change these decisions? I've never had somebody say no. You know,
not paying you.
They're always
I hope not.
People are always when they're in these situations and they've got debt and they've got, you know, their credit score's bad or they're you know, behind. It's like, you know, it wasn't worth it. That's where I'm getting at. Is these decisions, it wasn't worth it. If I ate terrible a month ago, it felt good at that moment, but was it worth it? No. So getting back to it is. That's the whole concept around plan now, relax later.
Right.
I'm focusing on now. I'm putting in a plan. I'm being intentional. I'm being diligent and disciplined with where my money goes, how I circulate my money, right? And so it's plan now so that I can relax later. And now when that time comes, all this sacrifice or, you know, that we've put in with our money, now we can reap the benefits. We planted the seeds.
Right.
We watered it. We watched it grow. We got it sunlight. Now,
I got a question for you.
We can collect the harvest. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, does it matter your occupation or what you do to build wealth? Or can the guy who works at the gym 9 to 5 join you as a client in comparison to the lawyer who?
Yeah. Of course.
Can anybody work with you?
Yeah, anybody can work with me and anybody can achieve, you know, financial independence and financial freedom and build wealth. You know, I mean, simply put, it's about, you know, can I spend less than what I'm making? You know, can I live a lifestyle where I have cash flow to then let that money work for me, whether that's investments or savings or
so you can help anybody.
I can help anybody.
Okay. So how do you know when you're on the right path for financial freedom? Are there any indicators or signs from your experience that you know if it looks like this, you're on the right path? If it looks like that, you got that bad food in you, you probably want to turn around.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way is, you know, are your assets building and are your liabilities decreasing, right? If they're doing the opposite, then you've got a problem, right?
That's lit.
Right. So, and that's real basic.
That's lit.
Real simple.
That's simple.
So you want to see the assets growing. You want to see those liabilities going away.
What are some assets?
Investments, real estate, certain insurances. You know, things like gold, cryptocurrency. I mean, there's a lot of different things that you could label assets. I mean, even just liquid cash.
Right.
But the whole thing is you want those to grow.
Right.
Right. So you have to do things with them. And that doesn't mean I'm not advocating for everybody to invest all their money. you know, it's about spreading it around and diversifying it, not having all the eggs in one basket, but you do need to have that money working for you in some way, right? Sitting in a checking account and even a basic savings account is not cutting it.
Dang it.
You're not even keeping up with inflation. So your money, I mean, think about it. You got $100,000 in a checking account or basic savings account earning 0.05% interest, right? In 10 years, gas is going to be more probably. Groceries are going to be more probably. Utilities, housing, cars, all these things are more than likely going to cost more.
Right.
Right? So if you kept that $100,000, if you use that $100,000 to purchase those things now versus 10 years from now, you're going to be able to buy significantly less with that same amount of money, right? It's the same dollar amount, right? Your money was safe, right? But you're not going to be able to purchase the same amount of things. And purchasing power is big. So, and the biggest risk, and you, I mean, I'm not the first person to say this, the biggest risk is not taking any risk.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. The biggest risk is sitting around and hoping that a savings account is going to do it for you.
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. Tripping. So you gotta take certain amount of risk. That doesn't mean risk everything all the time.
You got to take risk.
But I mean, doing nothing is a risk, in my opinion. Again, and the biggest one of all is doing nothing.
Doing nothing. So
give your money a plan. Give every dollar a plan. Send it out.
Send it out.
Cast it out.
Them some soldiers.
Yeah.
Put them soldiers to work.
Let that money circulate or let that money build and bring back more of his friends.
Right.
But you gotta be intentional with it. You gotta make sure there's a plan for every dollar that you have.
There's a book that The Richest Man in Babylon. Babylon.
Yeah, you told me about that.
Have you read that yet?
I haven't read that. Uh-huh.
That's a principle in that book. Make your money, send your money out to go work like they're soldiers, right? Okay, man. When you start to talk about money and financial planning and coaching, is different because it's something that you're probably hearing for the first time. So some of the viewers that we have today that's going to be watching this show, this is going to be their first time even hearing some of the stuff that you're talking about, right? But it's super critical that they know that you definitely want to make sure you become more literate on your finances, right? So if there's one thing that we could leave the viewers with, if it's just one thing that they could take from this episode, what would it be and why? What would you tell them? Let's tell the people something right quick.
Read. That's one thing. I mean, finance is not really one thing, but you have to invest in yourself. You have to educate yourself. Whether you're going to work with that.
I said read. I'm like, go do this. Go do that. Read.
But you said one thing. I'm keeping it real simple. You got to educate. Whether you work with a planner, whether you work with a coach, you know, whatever you do, whether you work with a professional in any capacity, educate yourself.
Right.
And if the professional that you're working with is not educating you,
right,
then you shouldn't be working with them. Mm. So you need to be educated. You need to be educating yourself.
On money.
I say read, but you know, whatever it is, listen to it. Watch YouTube. Right. You know, there's so much out there now.
The resources.
And so
crazy.
Just educate yourself. That's the one thing, is educate yourself. The big thing that I do when I'm with clients, planning, coaching, whatever it is I'm going to make sure before we're done, before we implement anything, that you understand what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how we're doing it.
Yeah.
Right? Those three things you need to understand.
What, why, how.
What, why, how. So educate yourself.
Yeah. And that's super huge because I know I asked you what your sole mission was and you said to educate. You're always educating everyone from children to older adults, right? Tell them where they can find you. You're constantly dropping jewels. You're constantly educating people. Let the people know your social platforms, your site. How can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, website is kibblefinancialplanning.com. You can follow me on Instagram at kibblefp, Kibble Financial Planning Facebook page, and you can follow me on LinkedIn as well.
Okay, well, there you have it. Hopefully you all were able to learn some important information today on money in general, I would say the number one thing from today's episode is to educate yourself on your finances. Definitely check out Steven's books with an S. He has a lot of new releases. Are they still online?
Yeah,
I know you say you're redoing them, but definitely check them out, man. Make sure you all tune in every Sunday at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we have some amazing guests coming in, dropping jewels. And I also want to give out another huge shout out to our sponsors at Got Success. Make sure you go to gotsuccessstore.com for everything success. You all have a blessed day. We'll see you next time. Peace.